Did anyone else notice that I finally found my old OG intro outro music again? After my phone got stolen in Peru, like literally all of my podcast files were lost because none of them had backed up to iCloud in like 6 months. So I lost all of my music sources and files, and I've been trying to find it for so long, and I finally just randomly stumbled across it on the internet and downloaded that stuff so quick. So yeah, I might just let it play for a few extra minutes because this song is my jam and it really gets me pumped up for recording podcasts. So I hope you like it because it's here to stay. Welcome back to the podcast, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me here today. Before I get into today's podcast, I've been doing this for a little over a year now. I think this is like 54, 55 weeks or something like that, which is pretty wild. I believe this is going to be like episode number 29, which is really cool. But what's also cool is that I've had listeners from over 85 countries. I think it's like 88 countries as of recording this podcast has, you know, listened to one of the episodes from 6 continents. I need someone from Antarctica to, you know, listen to me every once in a while to give me all 7. And I've had like over 10,000 listens, which is pretty crazy. So I appreciate everyone who's tuned in, listened to an episode, listened to 2 or 3 or 4 or 5. It's pretty awesome. I enjoy doing this, so I hope you enjoy listening to some of it at least. So today's episode is going to be a little interesting. Most of these stories, 99% of the chance that I've already told these stories on different episodes, but I figured I'd kind of compile them into sort of a greatest hits episode. I have 4 main stories that I'm going to tell, and then I have a bonus one at the end, so you'll have to stay tuned to hear that one. And by no means at all am I knocking like security at airports or customs agents, border patrol, anything like that. These are just interesting stories that I've, you know, gathered and garnered along the way that I think are worth telling again on another episode of this podcast. So all these stories have to do with different sort of run-ins with like customs or things like that, in airports mainly. The first one has to do with a time when I was in Vietnam. This is when I was backpacking Asia, and Vietnam was like my second to last country on my 2-month-long backpacking trip. So, I mean, I'd been traveling Asia nonstop for about six and a half weeks at this point. And, you know, I hadn't had a haircut, I hadn't shaved, I hadn't done anything like that in, you know, that entire month and a half. So I was looking a little scraggly. And at the time, I was like 23 or something like that whenever I took that trip. Maybe 24. I can't really remember at the moment. but whenever I got my passport, I was like 16 years old. So I had a passport picture of me like 8 years prior, when I probably couldn't grow a beard to save my life, and now I have like this big beard. I have like this really long, gnarly looking hair. So I go into the customs line there in Vietnam, and I get up to the counter, and the guy behind the desk is like looking at me, staring at my passport, looking back at me. You know, he's typing things into his computer. And, you know, I've never had issues getting through customs. Like, this was the very first time where I've ever been like, this is taking more than 30 seconds. What's going on here? So after a few minutes, I realized, like, okay, I just obviously don't look anything like my passport photo. So I'm basically just like, does the picture not look like me? Is that what the problem is? And he kind of just, like, looks at me and nods. And for some reason, I don't know why, like I had my driver's license, like my United States driver's license, all that kind of stuff in my backpack. But instead of being like, oh, here's another form of ID, do you want to look at that? Because I had taken my driver's license photo like a year before, so it looked a lot more like me than my passport photo. But instead of doing that, I was like, oh, well, let me look through my camera roll on my phone and I'll just show you a picture of when I looked like my passport photo. So I go through my phone and I'm like scrolling through and I'm like just showing him photos of me. I'm like, oh, look, this was me 2 months ago and I didn't have a beard. See, it looks a little bit more like it. Let me scroll back to last year. Here's 2 years ago. Here's 3 years ago. And finally, I think I just like annoyed him enough where he was just like, whatever, go ahead. But that was really funny. I'd never, you know, had an issue before at a border like that. And I mean, kudos to that guy, because I really did not look anything like my passport photo at that stage of the game. But so that was really interesting. And it was in Vietnam, which was one places where I had to get a visa ahead of time. Like most of the places in Asia, you don't even need a visa, but Vietnam was one of the places where you needed one. And I was like thinking that this is probably going to be one of the harder places to get into. So when that happened, I was like, kind of proved me right. But it wasn't that big of a deal. Got in and, you know, there were no issues there or, you know, after or anything like that. So yeah, that's my first story. Second story, my most recent trip was to Mexico, and this was more of an annoying story than a funny story. And you know, I feel like this could happen anywhere, but it kind of just, you know, things move a little bit slower in Mexico, you know, just people taking their time and whatnot, and, you know, long lines, slower lines. And so whenever I got to Mexico, and, you know, I landed at like 11:30 at night, and I get into the customs line, and, you know, we're in Cancun. And so Cancun is probably one of the most touristy destinations in all of Mexico. And so when I get to the line, I'm like in the very back of the line, because I was like one of the last seats in the plane. So I get into the back of the line, and you know how when you go through customs, there's a line for, you know, national citizens, so like citizens of Mexico, and then there's foreign citizens, so like United States or wherever else you're coming from. So there's two lines there, and it's about, I would say, you know, a third Mexican and then two-thirds non-Mexican. And so this line's pretty long. I mean, it was a big airplane, it was a full airplane. And so I get into this line, and there's literally one customs agent, you know, checking the passports for the hundreds of people that just got off this plane. And I'm like, are you serious? First off, it's like 11:30 at night and I'm ready to get out of there. And then two, it's just like, I've never seen just one customs agent before at a border. So I literally stood in this line for an hour waiting to get through customs. And then I get through customs, you know, get everything stamped and checked and all that kind of stuff. And so then I go through, and then my next stop is through whenever you have to declare your baggage. And never before have I ever had to declare anything. Maybe once or twice I've actually had to put my bag through an x-ray machine when I go through the declaration area. But normally it's just like a sign, and it's like, do you have anything to declare? Go left. If you don't, go right. And like the door to leave the airport's the one on the right. So you're like, just cool. All right, I'm out of here. So anyways, I walk through customs after I've been stamped, and I go through this door, and then I'm met with another huge line. And once again, this line funnels down to one little lady sitting at an x-ray machine. And so everyone is having to put their bag through the x-ray machine. They're all having to like declare to this lady that they have nothing to declare. And then there's this like button that you have to press once you go through the x-ray machine. And if it's like a thumbs up, then you can leave. And if it's a thumbs down, then you have to go over to this one other single person who will hand check your luggage. And it's totally random. So I wait in this line for like another 45 minutes, because now not only are the national citizens, but also the foreigners going through the same line. So you had two lines and now they funneled back into one line. So you have an entire airplane having to go through this one x-ray machine with this one lady checking every single bag. And it's not like you can just put all your bags on there and they all just go in. It's like each family goes through, puts their luggage on the x-ray machine, and then once their three or four bags are through, then they move on, press the button, And then the lady takes the next family and puts them their stuff on the x-ray machine. So it's a really methodical process, like one at a time. And so I was in this line for like another hour, and I finally get up there, get through, and not only is it like 1 a.m. at this time, but it's so hot and humid, and like I'm sweating inside the airport. It's just miserable. So I get through the x-ray, and the couple in front of me goes and presses the button, and they get a thumbs down, and so they have to go to the random little check, and I'm like, please do not let me get this thumbs down. Like, I am about to have a breakdown if I have to stay here a minute longer. So I press the button, it gives me a thumbs up. I'm like, hallelujah, praise the Lord, I'm out of here. Now, after that, the whole rental car debacle happens. You can listen to my Mexico podcast episode if you want to hear about that. But I got out of the airport, and that was that. But that was the longest customs experience I've ever had in my life. And it was just one plane. The only issue was there was only one person doing it, and they forced you to go through the x-ray machine in customs and through your baggage declaration. So that was wild and fairly annoying, but I survived. Part of the process, part of the experience. So it's cool, whatever. Anyways, moving on to the next story. I guess I'll continue on with that same trip. Before I went to Mexico, I went to Peru. It was my first stop on this trip to South America, Central America, that I took this past summer. And so this story in Peru is kind of funny. And this is one of the main stories I have about COVID on here. Now, traveling during COVID is obviously very different. I mean, just figuring out all the different, you know, criteria and things like that you needed to follow that were constantly changing was so mind-boggling. Like, whenever I was planning this trip, you know, I would go in and check like the criteria and all the rules and regulations like every couple days just to make sure, you know, I was still good to go. And it was really just like, even once I was there, I was like, you know, I might not get into this next country, or, you know, like, this, I hope this test works out, or, man, I hope I'm not positive because I don't want to stay here for, you know, the next 10 days before I can go home. So, you know, the whole experience is wild. I've taken several trips now during COVID. I traveled to Turkey last November, like, kind of during the heat of all of it, which was pretty wild. That was pretty crazy. It was before like any of the protocol over there. Like, you didn't have to take a test or anything, which is one of the main reasons that I went there, was just to avoid all that mess. And then I also went to Iceland this summer, and then to South America and everything. So anyways, when I went to Peru, one of their sort of regulations was obviously you had to have a negative COVID test. But then one thing is they were saying that their border agents were not going to stamp your passport. Like, they were suspending stamping passports for the health and safety of you and also for their customs agents. Now, if you travel often, I would assume that you like getting passport stamps. I know I do. You know, my first passport is pretty much full. I've had to get a second passport now, just because my first one expired. But my first passport was like full. I think there was like 2 pages that were empty, just because of my trip to Asia and a few other trips that I had taken. Like, all the pages were full, and it's really cool. Like, I like to every once in a while, like, flip through it, and I see all the different passport stamps, and I can kind of like see each country, and then it kind of just reminds you of your time in that country. It's just interesting. And some of the countries, you know, have very unique passport stamps. Like, in Cambodia, they have Siem Reap on their passport stamp. So it's just really cool, a unique sort of token or memorabilia item that you can have, a little souvenir. So when I read this about Peru, because I'm pretty sure the Peruvian passport stamp has like Machu Picchu on it or something. And so I was kind of bummed out about it. I was like, man, that really sucks. I really wanted this passport stamp. But, you know, I understand, like, you know, whatever protocol is in place, I just want to be able to go. So if that's what it takes, then it's fine. I'll get over it. Whatever. Not that big of a deal. So, you know, we get there, we get through customs. I have to show them all my information, everything like that, like my negative test results, all that kind of stuff. Cool, cool. Everything checks out. I get up there to the border agent, and, you know, I'm expecting, like, you know, I'm just going to press my passport up against, like, the glass window in between us. But she's like, oh, give me your passport. I'm like, okay, this is interesting. So I give her my passport. She's like, asking me all these questions. She's like, I've never been questioned this hard. She was like asking me what my hotel was, how I was going to get there, how many nights I was going to stay at this hotel. And I was having a driver from the hotel come and pick me up. So I had none of this information on me because I've never, like, sometimes your declaration card, when you arrive, you'll have to like fill in an address or something like that for your hotel. But you didn't have to do this here. And so I didn't have any of my information ready. You know, I wasn't getting my stuff ready to tell a taxi when I got outside because I had all that set up already. So I was like, I don't know the address to my hotel. I don't know any of this stuff. And like, I couldn't find my booking information. Like, I was standing with this poor passport check lady for probably 20 minutes trying to figure out where my hotel was, what the phone number was, because like the information wasn't on my booking reservation. I don't know. It was a hot mess. Finally, she was just like, how do you not know where you're spending the night? Like, are you crazy? And I was just like, you know what? It's fine. Like, I've been here before. It's cool. You know, I'll figure it out. She was like, okay, whatever. So at this time, I'm thinking, like, you've been holding my passport for the past 30 minutes. Like, would it be rude if I was just like, hey, can you stamp that for me while you have it? So the story isn't really that crazy or anything like that. It was just kind of a funny experience where we had all these protocols, you know, everyone was masked up. We had like plexiglass everywhere. And like the government of Peru was like, we are not stamping your passports to keep everyone safe. But then at the same time, you know, they're still transferring passports back and forth. They're holding on to it for 30 minutes. It was just pretty hilarious. And I was just like, man, I really should have just asked her, hey, while you have that, can you stamp it for me? But I didn't. So there's that. So my last main story here then is when I was in Laos, which was another part of my Asia trip. This story is pretty wild, kind of. To me, it was at the time anyways. So we fly into Laos. And flying into Laos was pretty crazy in and of itself because we flew in on this tiny little twin propeller plane. It was torrential downpours outside. The plane was rocking and swaying and bumping every which way. It was a pretty crazy flight. And so when we finally land in Laos, because it's such a tiny plane, you have to deboard outside and then there's not even like a bus to take you to the airport. Like, you just have to run off the tarmac, and it's pouring raining, so we're like sprinting through the rain. And so we get in, and there, you know, there's like nothing in this little area, and it's like as soon as you get into the airport, there's a customs agent right there. So it's kind of interesting. I mean, I've been to a few airports where as soon as you get off the tarmac, there's like a customs agent right there. But this one was literally like everyone was crammed into this little bitty room, and then there was an agent sitting right there at the exit. So we all get into a line, and you had to get a passport on arrival in Laos, and it was like maybe $25. I can't really remember the exact price, but it was somewhere in that range. And Laos was the last airport or the last country that I needed to get a visa on arrival that I had to pay for. I had to get a visa on arrival in China, but it was free. So this was the last one I had to pay for. And I had carried enough cash with me to pay for all of my visas on arrival. I had US dollars. And usually whenever I travel, I have like an extra $100 in my wallet, you know, just in case something comes up, I'll have cash. And in this case though, I had either spent it all or I had only brought enough cash for the visas. So I get up to the counter and you have to like fill out all this information. You have to like give them your like mini passport photo, things like that. And so let's say that the visa costs $25. So I'm like, okay, I pull out my last US dollars, $25 worth. Bam, I'm ready to go. I'm like, I'm rocking this. I've done my research. Like, look at me. So I have my $25 out. I have my like little form that I filled out, all that kind of stuff ready. And I go to hand it to him and he's like, that will be $26. And I'm like, say that again. Like, did you say 25? And he's like, 26. And there's a sign on like right next to his desk that has literally every country on it, and it has the price for the visa on arrival for every single country in the world. And I'm looking at the United States and I swear it says $25. And I'm like, the sign right here says $25. Like, I don't understand. I have $25. The sign says $25. You're telling me 26. Something's not adding up here. Like, I don't have a dollar and I don't know where this dollar's coming from. And he's like, there's a $1 processing fee. I'm like, oh, I have literally been planning this trip for a year and I have never seen, read, watched a vlog, anything that told me that there was a $1 processing fee for my Lao visa. First off, I'd never paid a processing fee for any other visa on arrival. Second, what's this $25 going for that I'm giving you right now? If it's not for processing, like, you're processing it right here, man. I paid you $25. Is that not enough? Like, what's this extra dollar gonna do for you? So, anyways, I'm like, I don't have another dollar. Like, I literally only have $25. And this guy is not budging. Like, he doesn't have his little coin bowl on the counter where he's like, oh, just take a couple pennies out of there and pay for it. It's fine. I mean, this guy's like, well, I guess you're gonna sit in here for the rest of your time in Laos. So I'm like looking around. There's literally like three people left behind me in line. I once again was pulling up the rear. And so I look at the person next to me, I'm like, hey, you have a dollar? And so fortunately, the person next to me had an extra dollar, gave me the dollar. So I was able to pay the full 26. And I was like, I will hit you back as soon as we get an ATM outside. Because there were no ATMs in this room. So if you are not prepared, like, I honestly don't know what if they would have just like had security, like, walk you to an ATM and watch you get money out and then bring you back. Or if they would have just forced you to sit there until the next flight out, I really don't know because there were no ATMs. There was no way to get cash to pay for this. And so I was like, well, I'm glad this guy was here. So, anyways, I go out after getting like my visa, getting all that paid for. So I go hit up an ATM and like the smallest denominations they had were like 20s. So I was like, I guess, do I need to like give this guy $20? I was like, hey, like the smallest denomination they have is like this $20 bill. Is there something like, can we like split a taxi and I'll like pay you back that way or something? And he was like, no, don't worry about it. So that worked out. There's always awesome people when you're traveling. That's, no exception. The dude in Cancun who paid for my toll and I was able to pay him back because he had like PayPal, so I was able to do that. But there's always awesome people there to help you out whenever you're traveling. It's really cool to see, whether you speak the same language, whether you're, both in a foreign country, there's always someone who's got your back. And it's a really cool culture and environment, and just like the whole travel community is really awesome. Finally, my bonus story. You've made it this far, so you get the bonus story. This one doesn't really have to do with a customs scenario, which is why I made it bonus, but it has to do with airport security, which is kind of close to the same thing. So I figured it should go in the same episode. Plus, it's one of the crazier stories that I've had. So this was my time in Jordan. And so my time in Jordan was really short. It came in on the tail end of my trip to Greece. I went to Greece with my parents. Oh, that would have to have been like a little over 2 years ago. It was the Thanksgiving before I went to Turkey. So it was like 2.5 years ago. So I left Greece a day early, and I flew to Jordan in order to go to Petra because I'm on that journey to go see the seven wonders of the world, the new seven wonders of the world. So I get to Jordan, and I get there around, I believe my flight landed around 9 o'clock at night. And so I get there, and I was being picked up at like 2:30 in the morning, something ridiculous. 2:30 in the morning to drive over to Petra, because Petra was like a 2.5, 3 hour drive away from the airport, and I wanted to get there as soon as they opened, and they opened at like 5:30 or 6 in the morning. So that was gonna get me there at like 5:30, 5 o'clock, something like that. So, anyways, from the get-go, it was kind of weird because I was just finding random people on the internet, you know, like on TripAdvisor and things like that, where they're like, oh, this random dude drove me to Petra for this price. Here's his WhatsApp number. So for the longest time, for like a couple of weeks before getting there, I was just like messaging a bunch of random Jordanian people to see if they could drive me to Petra, which, you know, that's interesting in and of itself. One thing I've noticed, I don't know if it was just Jordanian people or what, but they would never text you back. They would always record voice messages. And it's like the thing about text is, sure, you might misspell a word, but it's like you can understand it all. You know, it's typed out. If you need to translate it, you can. But literally, no one that I texted in Jordan would ever text me back. I would send them a message and then they would send me a voice recording back. And I'm like, dude, just text it out. Like, I just need a yes or no. And they'd like send me a 30-second long voice message. So, anyways, there were a couple people who were like, oh, like, I'll pick you up at 9 or whenever you land. And then you can like spend the night at my house. And then we'll just leave from my house. And, you know, I've done some sketchy stuff on my trips, but I was like, one, okay, I'll be honest. I figured they would charge me for it and I didn't want to pay extra. So that's the main reason. But then the second reason, I was like, I don't want, really want to go spend the night at some random Jordanian dude's house, even though I'm sure it'd be a cool experience. I think I'd rather just take my chances at the airport. So, anyways, I get there and I'd finally worked it out with this one random dude who wasn't even like a driver. He was like a courier for some company, but he was like, yeah, I'll drive you there. And it was like the cheapest. And also, he was going to stay there for the longest amount of time. So it was just like a win-win. So I had this one guy who's going to come pick me up at like 2:30 in the morning, something ridiculous. So, anyways, I land at 9 and I'm like, okay, I'm just going to sleep in the airport. Like, I've slept in airports before and I've, you know, done my research. People have slept there before at this airport. It's not that big of a deal. They've done it. So I land, I get there, and it's a really small airport. And so I, first off, I sit down sort of in the baggage claim area, like right after customs, which this customs story was actually kind of interesting too, because all of these, you were supposed to buy visas on arrival, but I didn't have cash, and so I was gonna get cash out of an ATM. And so when we got to customs, there were no ATMs, and so I couldn't get cash. And I was like, well, this is gonna be awkward. I don't know how I'm gonna buy this visa. So I get up to the visa dude, and he's like, just stamps my passport and says, you're good to go. And I'm like, do I not need a visa? And he's like, no, there are free visas here. And so, like, this one particular airport, they were giving out free visas, but it was the only airport in all of Jordan that they were doing it. Pretty sweet deal, you know, kind of, I didn't know it was happening, but it worked out for me, so that was pretty cool. So anyways, like the customs was like right next to baggage claim, and there was like two carousels there. So I sat down on a chair and I was waiting there for maybe like 30 minutes, and then literally, there was no one else in the baggage claim area because that's how small the flight was, and that's how like quickly all the baggage was picked up and like was gone. And so I'm like, okay, I'm like sticking out like a sore thumb sitting here, so I'm gonna go walk to departures. So I leave the airport, I walk over to departures, and there's like, you know, 5-6 gates at this airport. I mean, it's really small, but I'm like, you know, I'm sure they have flights leaving all night long, and so I really won't stick out because there's going to just be people milling around all night. So I go over there, and as soon as I walk in the door, I look up at the like the little TV arrival departure thing, and the next departure isn't until like 8 o'clock the next morning. Like, we were the last flight that they were going to have to deal with until the next morning. So I'm like, oh, this is unfortunate because now, like, no one's going to get to the airport 12 hours early for a flight. So they're going to be like, who is this guy and why is he here? And it's just not going to be as incognito as I was hoping for. That's the thing about airports, especially big airports. Like, there's always flights leaving, always flights arriving. So if you're just, like, passed out on a couch, no one's going to be like, oh, this dude's loitering and has been here for 3 days. They're going to be like, oh, this guy probably just going to get on the next flight out of here. So, but when there's no flights, it's like there's one dude sitting in this airport and there's not a flight leaving for 12 hours. We need to get this guy out of here. Like, who knows what he's up to? So that was kind of the predicament I was in, but I really didn't have any other options. Like, it was 9:30, 10 o'clock. My flight, you know, my driver wasn't going to get there for another 4.5-5 hours. So I was just like, well, you know, let's just give it a go. Like, I don't think they'll kick me out, but we'll see. So I go over, I sit on this bench, and I think I've read for a little bit. I listened to some music. And as I was sitting there reading, a police officer or security guard comes up to me. And he's basically just asking me, you know, who I am, what I'm doing there. I show him my passport. I told him, you know, what flight I just got off of and that I was waiting for, you know, someone to pick me up. I was going to Petra in the morning. And he was like, oh, okay, that's cool. And normally, you know, you get like that one security guard who's like, who gives you the okay. And you're like, okay, sweet. Like, he's going to tell everybody I'm cool and, you know, I'm set. So I kind of felt better. I was like, all right, that security guard said it was fine that I stay here. So, you know, I'm going to be fine. So after a little bit, I was pretty tired. So I closed my eyes and like I try and fall asleep. And all of a sudden, I'm like, someone's like poking me. And I like look up and there's like 3 or 4 security guards like surrounding me. And I'm like, what's going on? So once again, I kind of had the same conversation, you know, they're kind of just like, what are you doing here? And they're a little bit more aggressive this time. They're like, who are you? Where are you from? What are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. Give them the same spiel. And they're like, okay, you're fine. And one dude who seems like he's probably in charge of the whole operation is like, gives me the okay. He's like, okay, enjoy your time here. You know, cool. So I'm like, okay, that was a little intense, but you know, we're good. Head honcho guy here said I was cool to stay here, so, you know, I'm good to go. So I lay back down, maybe another 30 minutes later, same thing. I wake up, and there's literally, like, 7 dudes surrounding me. There's, like, security guards. There's, like, military. There's, you know, like, airline people, like, airport officials there. And, like, I'm sitting on a bench up against the wall, and they're just, like, all surrounding me, you know? And so I'm just like, I thought, like, fortunately, I've already talked to, like, half of these people, but I'm like, I thought we had this figured out. Like, I don't understand what's going on. Like, I thought it was fine for me to be here. If it's not, I can go sit outside, but I thought we were cool. So they're, like, really just ripping into me. They're like, what are you doing? Like, where are you from? What flight did you, like, basically all the same stuff, but now they're just, like, being really aggressive about it. They're like, what are you doing? Where are you from? What nationality are you? They like take my passport. And like whenever you're traveling and someone takes your passport, you're just like, you follow that person until you like, this person takes my passport and like is walking around. And like, I do not let my eyes off this guy. Cause like, I can't go anywhere without a passport. So that's always sketchy when someone takes it. So I'm like watching this guy with my passport. He goes and like into a different room and is like looking stuff up on his computer, I guess, about me. And then they're basically, they don't really believe like why I'm there. And so fortunately I had the driver's WhatsApp number of who was going to come pick me up the next day. And so the main like military guy was like, let me call the driver. And so I'm like, cool, like, talk to whoever you want, just, you know, here. So they call the driver who's going to come pick me up the next morning, and he's just like, oh yeah, I'm going to pick this guy up, we're going to Petra, blah, blah, blah. Basically, like, you know, solidifies my story and backs me up on it. And so it was probably a solid like 10, 15 minutes of full on like interrogation in there in that airport lobby. And finally they're like, okay, like, welcome to Jordan. Enjoy your stay. You know, have a good time at Petra tomorrow. And I'm just like, at this point, like, my heart is pounding and I'm like, I'll try my best. So I definitely didn't get any more sleep that night. But that's honestly like one of the most, like, I've been questioned about what I'm doing and where I'm at, which was pretty interesting. I didn't really expect that. I think it was mainly just because I stuck out so much, just being just a white dude sitting in a Middle Eastern airport all by myself at like 11 at night. With no flights, you know, within the next like 8 hours coming in or out. So, yeah. Anyway, so I'll go ahead and finish the story real quick because it's still not over. So I get picked up at like 2:30, 3 o'clock. I go to Petra, spend all day at Petra. It's amazing. You can go listen to that podcast story if you want to. I come back and I get back at like maybe 5 in the afternoon, maybe 6. And my flight out doesn't leave until like 10 o'clock that night. So I'm sitting outside probably until like 8 o'clock. It started to get dark, started to get chilly. And so I head back inside to that same lobby that I was in before. And so I'm sitting there. It's like 8 o'clock. My flight doesn't leave until 10. And literally the same like security officer who was there the night before, who was the very first person who had talked to me and was there on each sequential visit from all the security, he comes up to me because once again, like, there's a flight at like 9 o'clock, there's like a flight at 10 o'clock, there was like a flight at 8, and so I'm sitting there, the flight at 8 had just left and I'm still sitting there, and the security guard comes up to me and he's like, you know, he looks just like over and he's just like, do you have a flight? Like, are you really going to spend the night here again? Because this ain't happening. And I'm like, no, I have a flight. I'm leaving at 10. I'm going to Amman. And he is just like, I show him my ticket and he's like, okay. And he just like turns and walks away. And I'm like, this guy is probably so over me right now. But yeah, those were a few of my craziest stories for security, airport security, customs, things like that. Some of the funnier, more memorable interactions I've had. So yeah, that's the episode. Thank you so much for joining me here today. Remember, it's up to you to make your life interesting. So get up, get out, explore the world, take that next adventure, maybe an extra dollar with you as well. But yeah, if you want to see any pictures from any of these stories, you can check out my Instagram at educateyourtravel. There is one of those little saved stories at the top of my page for each one of the countries that I've been to. So if you find one you're interested in, go ahead and check those out. And so yeah, that's about it. Thanks so much for joining me here, and